Welcome to the Minivate Gang podcast for Saturday, December 20th, 2008. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Graham Thickens.
Hello from the winter wonderland in Bloomington.
Yeah, the entire state. And Phil Wilson.
Good morning. All right, listen, before we go any further, this is going to be our last cast of the year, right? We're taking next week off, right?
We are. Yes, okay. Sadly.
But. So this means there's even more reason to stick through this podcast because you're going to go 2 weeks without hearing us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a huge contest we're announcing at the end. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
And of course, we'll give you a secret code at the end of this podcast.
That's right. Well, of course, everyone can just scrub through to the end. That's the dirty little secret of
that's a wonderful
media.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today I thought it would be fun to just go through predictions, talk about predictions. There's been a number of interesting predictions that have come out. Peter Kim did that aggregation. He crowdsourced experts on social media predictions for 2009. I kind of tried to look at themes through that. Have you guys had a chance to take a peek at that?
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, but the one thing that I really leapt out at me was that dwindling budgets are going to suddenly make low cost social media look like the pretty girl at the ball, and so that was one theme. And the other theme was the rapid emergence of aggregators of more friend feed like services that will help us to manage all this stuff. To manage all these inputs, digital breadcrumbs.
So-called live streaming sort of
theme. Yeah. And actually, you know, Tim, because you're such a WordPress god, have you seen that live live streaming plugin?
I'm using it now, and it's kind of interesting. It doesn't really support all of the services that I currently use, but it supports enough of them that it makes it interesting to just put updates in your sidebar. So it's a recommended plugin. Works great.
Okay.
If it doesn't support all of the different services you use, Tim, you're using too many. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I guess it supports, you know, Twitter and Google Reader and all the rest of the big ones. So from that perspective, it works, but it doesn't support some of the lesser known services.
Okay. Well, that was one thing that came out yesterday at the social media breakfast, and I'm going to let you and Phil and Graham kind of recap a lot of that. But that was one thing that came out was in conversation was people are talking about, you know, how do I integrate all this stuff that I'm involved in?
You don't.
Yeah. Well, there's that. There's that.
You know, I think that if I were to make a bold prediction for 2009, I think that people are going to start shedding some of the excess stuff that they're involved in, as far as, because, you know, especially in the social media space, not to mention just the online space, there are so many services, so many opportunities, so many things that you can be involved in, that people, I think, are going to get an overload and say, at least those that have been early adopters will get an overload and say, look, I've got to start trimming back. I've got to clutter. I got to declutterify my life. So I think that's going to be a big thing. And again, that falls into the aggregation concept.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I've been really enamored by Identica, the open source Twitter-like product. And
not
going
to happen. Not going to
happen.
Just
not, nope. Yeah, there's no critical mass of people there.
But one thing that may happen is that, say, if Twitter does get acquired by someone or turn off the service like Pounce did, that people will turn to things like Identica to put up their own niche, service like Twitter. And because it's distributed, it can't be turned off. You know,
I could definitely see an opportunity for an Identica or something like that to become a white label service for you know, that sort of micro blogging, micro messaging sort of thing. But I just don't, and Tim, you've referenced that a couple of times, but I just don't see Twitter going away.
Well, if they don't figure out how to make money, I think that they are going to go away, because everything next year is going to be so difficult. They're not going to get any more investment, and you know, it has to be a costly service to run.
I just think that they're very much on the verge of launching some things. I don't have any inside information, but I just think that they have reached such. I mean, they are the microblogging platform. I think they're the first ones in. They're the ones that are going to hold the space. You know, I don't see it going away. Yes, you're right. They'll have to find a way to make money with it, but I think they will.
Okay, well, that's good.
I would agree, and I would also say that their investors don't underestimate the deep pockets of those investors. I'm not convinced they'll have a hard time, you know, getting more money if they need it. And I'm not convinced they do yet, especially if they do start getting some revenues in the door. But it's a pretty lean operation. It's only 25 employees. And, you know, I think if they do raise more money, they may be doing, I mean, a flat round is a good thing these days, you know. They won't be probably raising money at anything beyond their last valuation and maybe even less. But I will go on record to say that I think in 2009 we're going to see them acquired. I do not see them going on another year as an independent entity.
You know what? I would agree with that.
I think I see them doing it. I think I see them doing it themselves.
So Graham, do you think someone like Facebook's going to acquire them, or somebody else?
Oh, for the love of God, no.
Now, if anybody's guessed, they've certainly been in discussions with them, and you know, but who knows? I think it's you know, consolidation or just companies packing it up and going out of business is definitely a trend in social media going forward. Here, we're going to see a lot of companies go by the wayside, the lesser ones that won't be able to raise money or won't be able to ramp revenues quickly enough. So, social media is definitely a growing, obviously positive trend in how we do things. But that doesn't mean that all companies in it can survive. They certainly can't, and they won't.
Okay, all right. I give up. You guys have pressured me long enough. I'm here to announce that Comic Twit is actually acquiring Twitter.
Who? Yeah.
Hey, Comic Twit.
We at Comic Twit are just tired of having to, you know, work with this. We're going to take it over.
I think, I think that's
I got good. 10 bucks. I got 10 bucks right here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you should start doing comic predictions.
There you go.
For 2009. That would be fun. I'm going to submit some of those.
All right.
Good idea. Hey, who wants to recap the social media breakfast yesterday?
I think it could be recapped in one word.
Which is?
Bacon.
Bacon. God, it's always bacon.
Mr. Christopher said he's had enough bacon to last him 6 months now.
we were just packing it in, believe me.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was an incredible haul over to Lake Elmo from Eden Prairie, but especially with the weather. But it was probably one of the most enjoyable ones I've been to. Really a lot of connections and great conversations.
Yeah, I said in a tweet last night, I said there was so much schmoozing going on, it was like the room was going to explode.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, the buzz, the din of everybody, networking and chatting was like amazing. But it was fun going over there. It was like going to the country. I mean, Lake Elmo is unbelievable.
It's like going to the country.
It is. It's like, you know, this big acreages. I mean, it's like, it's a suburb, but it's really like you're way out of the cities when you go over there, because they've had.
We went over the river and through the woods is what we did.
Yeah, we did.
Well, they're clearly fighting the Met Council, who wants them to expand and turn a lot of that land into multifamily dwellings and so on. Mm-hmm. It's a big battle to keep it rural.
Yeah,
well, I think it was a great event. I don't necessarily know if there were some. Katie Conrath did a nice presentation on Saving Ratchet, the dog story from Baghdad, which I thought was a great presentation. But I think the whole event was very much more of a holiday atmosphere, and we were just there to hang out. And I don't think any. I left a little bit early, as Steve Borsch so kindly pointed out as I was trying to get out of the room.
You're welcome.
But I think that I don't know if any major topics were necessarily handled or solved, but it was just good to be social with the social media folks.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun talking with Al Marughi and Mike Kelleher that I never really had a chance to do, at some of these other meetings. So it's fun. I mean, the face-to-face is still a good thing. All the social media in the world can't replace that.
Well, what's interesting about that comment is I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in where people say again and again, well, this stuff is, we can't replace, face-to-face meetings and discussions and all of that. And, it does. It augments human connection and communication. It's not going to replace it. Although I've met so many people virtually that I've then in fact met in person through social media that it's been it's just been fun, and it wouldn't happen any other way.
Let's talk about some other predictions. What do you guys see about in 2009, the broadband initiative that we have going? Where do you see it ending up in at the end of the year, by next year?
Well, that's a good question, because I can't recall what the timeline is for them to provide results to the legislature, their recommendations, and then when legislation might happen, and especially now with where we are financially as a state, who knows what kinds of investments will be made. But, in fact, this is funny you bring this up, Phil, because one of my predictions for 2009 is that there will be evidence of dramatic slowdowns in the internet based on all of the activity, and it's going to really bring to the fore how badly we need really great broadband.
So what sorts of new applications, Steve, will cause all this contention on the network?
Well, I think it'll be... probably the biggest hog will be the delivery of high def video. There has been HDTV sales have been one of the bright spots this fall, and products like, the Apple TV, and there's an open source one, and people are hooking up small form factor computers to their HDTVs, all to use services like Boxy and others and Hulu, to download HDTV. Or HD quality programming. And as a consequence, I mean, it's huge, huge bandwidth usage. And I think that what's going to end up happening is people are going to start to experience fairly dramatic slowdowns in the net. So I think
I've used Boxy, and it's all streaming. And, streaming doesn't really degrade the capacity of the network as much as, say, downloading does. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's streamed, I think that it'll just be something that the service providers will just need to figure out how to best route that traffic, as opposed to, kind of running out of capacity on the network itself. So it's more of a routing issue, as opposed to we don't have enough capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not a net architect, so it's tough to know exactly, but...
buy Cisco stock? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably always a good... John Chambers has come out talking about video specifically as one of the primary drivers to install new Cisco equipment around the net.
Well, the opportunity for us, would the opportunity exist for anybody right now to say, you know, now is the time to build your, to look at establishing a business or going into the business of building data centers with the price of real estate right now and the proliferation of all this data that's out there? Would this now be a good time to go in and start building data centers? I mean, that business has already taken off quite handily, but I'm just kind of curious if it, you know, what do you guys think?
I think it's a game for the big boys, and, you know, and it's...
Graham, there's nobody bigger than you.
Oh, but it requires a huge amount of capital, as was my point, obviously.
Well, exactly. So that's why I'm turning to you.
One of the biggest trends I see is cloud computing. I mean, let's face it, the big players, the Amazons and the Googles and so forth, are the ones, and Microsoft are the ones buying for that growth market. And, as far as new entities getting started in that business, I sure can't see it happening. Local regional players will continue to do well, you know, like our local Visy.com. But that game's getting really, really big. And only the very biggest will dare play in the big cloud computing infrastructure business.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Google really, continue to expand aggressively as opportunities are out there to do so at, you know, low costs, particularly as they move into the mobile space with their Android operating system, which I think is going to be greatly expanded next year.
Oh, I would agree. Well, you know what? Can I throw out? I have four big predictions for next year. Can I just throw them out? Because part of that is just leveraging that Android platform. The first one was smaller form factors like netbooks. Will continue to emerge since more and more of us that are always on, always connected, want slightly bigger screens than even an iPhone provides. Because we want to be able to do a little bit more. We want to see a little bit more, but not too much. Not, you know, carrying around a laptop and so forth. So that's prediction number one.
I would agree. I think Apple's going to surprise us in a couple of weeks with something that's not quite an iPhone, but not quite a MacBook. It'll be something in the middle that will take everyone by surprise.
Do you think they'll do that with just Phil Schiller doing it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so.
I think it's an opportunity to really strongly establish Phil Schiller because he's not, you know, coming in after Jobs is not going to be an easy thing to do at Macworld. So. Yeah, I think it'd be a nice, whether it's that announcement or another big announcement, I think it would be helpful.
And now you're getting into one of my predictions. I predict that Steve Jobs will pass the torch in 2009.
Wow.
And who else is it going to be but Schiller? I mean, it's got to be. I don't think it'll happen at Macworld, but I think by the end of 2009, I'd be very amazed if Steve Jobs is still CEO of Apple.
Okay, I would kind of agree with the Jobs thing, but I would disagree on the Phil Schiller thing. I don't think the reason is that, again, I haven't worked with the guy, but he's not the charismatic leader that I think is necessary to lead a company like Apple.
You got to lose some weight, too. You know, he comes out on stage, he looks like a blimp.
You know, I wouldn't point fingers myself at Phil about that, which is why I didn't bring it up. Okay, here's prediction number two. Aggregators.
Before you go there, let me say one thing about Phil Schiller. I think he's a cool guy because back when we were launching BestBuy.com, launching the site, we needed to outfit a whole bunch of people with Macs. I mean, we were ramping up to like 75 people that were going to be in the group that built this site. And so we said, well, what the hell? Let's call up Apple. We called up and we got a hold of Phil Schiller. He took our call.
Wow.
He sold us a bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, Best Buy, I don't know what was spent, but, you know, we put in a massive order for everything Mac. Anyway, that's my Phil Schiller experience.
Gotcha. All right, so number two is aggregators will emerge for managing our digital lives. You know, when Mark Cantor built, you know, he started Broadband Mechanics, and his whole thing was building digital lifestyle aggregators, and he's ended up delivering essentially white label social networking is his thrust. And when he delivered peopleaggregator.org, the first public iteration of it, I went there and, you know, I can get just about everything and I didn't get it. Not that you couldn't go in and build the things, but it just didn't make sense. And I think the digital lifestyle aggregator concept is really great, but that it needs to be a set of tools that people like us can, you know, drag and drop and move things around and connect up with whatever service happens to be coming out at the moment. And Tim, you've been doing some stuff too with NetVibes. I think a NetVibes-like product where you can bring things together in one common set of dashboards is where it's going to end up.
I don't see what's wrong with NetVibes as it is right now. It's very, yeah, very flexible. You can do a lot of stuff with it.
Well, I want to be able to clone it. I want to be able to create one and clone it in total and deliver it.
That's just a feature that they need to add.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already invented what you need. It's kind of a Swiss Army knife of aggregation. So, you know, it's just adding a feature like that. I can see them easily do.
I can't find the toothpick.
Well, it doesn't have the toothpick. Sorry.
Dang.
Yeah. Well,
it's one of those, with the thumb drive on it. I got you.
Yeah, Phil, you can invent that.
It has a nice corkscrew, though.
What did you say?
I said it has a nice corkscrew.
Yes, it does. But Steve said something before that.
What did you say? I was going to say you could invent it.
The toothpick. The toothpick.
Yeah, come on. What's
the
up?
Virtual toothpick.
Yeah. All right, so here's prediction number three.
Ooh, go.
That we will see an emergence of easy-to-use platform APIs and code consumption. So when I think about a tool like Yahoo Pipes, I can go in and create something that brings in a lot of different feeds and manipulates them and uses other services and all of that. Or I can find somebody that's already done it and just clone their pipe and modify it, which is what I like to do because it's much faster. And I think we'll see an emergence of more and more sort of pre-done access to platforms and APIs. Again, kind of leveraging this whole concept of aggregators and, you know, and widgets and gadgets and all of that. What do you think of that?
Aye, the pipes, laddie, the pipes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, that sort of felt like a deflated basketball.
What I'd like to see that sort of toolkit come down to, you know, like the iPhone and Android development, because both of those, if you fooled around with those APIs and development environments, you have to know quite a bit about programming just to get going. You
right.
know,
although
they're both brand new languages. They're languages in and of themselves. So,
right. But they're visual in a sense that you can lay things out and put together an application. It's just all the stuff behind the scenes gets, you know, it gets difficult to do if you're not a programmer. So it would be nice to have a Yahoo pipe style thing that normal mortals like we can operate to put together, say, an iPhone application. I think that would be very interesting.
That would be very interesting.
But then you'd have like a million really crappy iPhone apps probably.
Well, you know, you would, but...
But they would be custom to the individual. I mean, I think that would be, you know, giving people the ability to build their own iPhone app is not necessarily to give them that ability to sell that app, but to build it for themselves. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool.
See, I think the crappy argument is just exactly the same thing that happened with desktop publishing when that first came out. I mean, because I was right in the midst of it, and I remember over and over and over and over and over again reading all these articles about, well, these people are using 12 fonts on their page, and they don't know how to lay out this, and they don't know how to do that, you know, as though it's going to go away. And it never, you know, obviously that's the de facto standard today is computer-based publishing. But, you know, that kind of segues into my number four, which is emergence and mainstreaming of containers. So when you think about Air, Silverlight, site-specific browser things like Prism and Fluid, that are, you know, fluids on based on WebKit, and then Sprouts from Sprout Builder, widgets, gadgets, etc., that we're going to see a real emergence of that, so that, again, mere mortals like us can take a almost a desktop publishing metaphor, drag and drop, build and deliver containers of value, be it, you know, MP3s in a player, or videos, or some combination of, and being able to track it. Because TubeMogul and iWidget and even Sprout and others are now building in analytics, so that if, Tim, you embed 50 containers out on all of your different respective client sites, you're going to be able to measure consumption of content from which site. So you're going to be able to watch and track and analyze all that. And I think we're going to see a real acceleration in that in 2009.
So container tools for non-developers.
Yeah, so that we can deliver and deploy containers. I mean, in the same way, the explosion in blogging was all because the self-publishing tools were so simple in relative terms. For people to focus on the content instead of the container. And today, right now, we're still needing to focus on the container. There's a lot of development effort and a lot of tweaking and a lot of this and a lot of that, and less focus on the content. And I think that's going to shift. It's going to tip and it's going to go the other way.
I would agree.
Well, that sparked a lot of conversation.
Oh, it's just true. I see a lot happening there, and it surely can't stop. I think some of these companies are funded pretty well. I think Sprout Builder is. I saw them at demo, and hopefully they've got enough money to survive, or can raise more money at some halfway decent valuation, so they can keep the process. Keep their ventures going. Are you done, Steve, or can I jump in with one?
Oh, please do.
Yeah, and that gets me into some of my predictions. One big one is in the area of funding, and this kind of relates to what Mark Neeson from the National Venture Capital Association has said recently, is that that the industry is kind of turning into a barbell, where you have the big, huge VCs at one side, you know, the Kleiner Perkins, the Sequoias, and so forth, and at the other end, the other side of the barbell are the primarily angels and early stage investors that get companies going, and there's this huge, vast expanse in between. And if you're in the middle as a VC, you're not in a good place. But it also speaks to the growing importance, I think, or reliance on those angels and angel networks to provide the early stage, seed stage funding. I think we're going to see them becoming more organized and more active investors than they already are, and we have to if innovation is going to continue to happen. And that's what's going to feed our economy, really, is these new innovative firms being able to get funding and go forward and create jobs. And it's difficult. It's going to continue to be difficult. But I guess what I'm saying is the VCs are going to be less a part of that going forward. And it's not good times for the VC industry in general, but positives for the angels and angel networks that can get it going out there.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed this week, Graham, was that no one sees any kind of VC expansion happening until 2010. So they're going to sit on the sidelines for the entire year next year. And it occurred to me, you know, will they be as a driving force for innovation and technology startups after in 2010, after we go through this really difficult year next year? I mean, will people, or will we figure out how to do it without them?
Well, you know, the VC industry will never go away, but, you know, I like to think it will come back, but it's just not outside of a few places in the country. It's just not going to be much of a force in 2009, because like you say, they are largely sitting on their hands and funding their current portfolio companies to try to keep some of them alive, and they'll shut down many of them. They already are, just kind of hunkering down and the additional fundings that they'll do of most of their portfolio companies will be at, you know, lousy valuations for the companies, you know, or flat at best. How many up rounds will we see in 2009? I don't think too many. They're already talking about Facebook having to raise more money, and it won't be at the last valuation by any stretch when Microsoft invested. But, you know, that's no surprise to anybody. They were crazy anyway at that time. But yeah, the VC industry may start an upward trend in 2010, but who's to know? It's just, you know, it's for our local folks here who are primarily the ones listening to us. You know, it's for quite a while here. It's been angels as far as their only hope. Angels, private investors, whatever you want to call them. The VC community has not been funding much of anything here locally in the internet space, let's face it. And I certainly don't see that changing, you know. Get to know your friendly neighborhood angel if you can find him or her.
What do you think that's going to do to innovation here, particularly, you know, in the Twin Cities startups? Do you think that's going to, is that going to cause some retrenching, or will people actually get more innovative?
I think that I totally agree with most experts to say some of the best companies that ever get founded are do so in a down economy. I totally believe that entrepreneurs don't care. They the ones that are going to make it are not going to be held back by this. They take the attitude that, hey, it's less competition for me trying to raise money, and they it isn't going to stop them. And I don't think innovation is going to suffer here in Minnesota, because I think there are good angel groups and individual angels that will continue to fund good business plans. I don't see it significantly slowing. My friend Pete Berkland at Rainsource Capital just told me this week that they're actively, moving forward investing. They aren't, in the bunker. Our investors here in the Midwest are more, more conservative and more middle of the road, and don't go to extremes like they do out in the valley. So, certainly some individuals are going to be stop writing checks. And by the way, there's going to be a story, I think, in the Sunday Tribune or maybe Monday on angel investors, on individuals more so than the networks. Tom Lee is working on it. He called me about it earlier in the week, and it sounds like it could be a good one. And I sent him to a couple of folks that I hope he connects with. And so Thomas will have a good overview of the angel investing situation in Minnesota in that piece.
All right. How about we go to big?
He had to use that.
I had to use the sound
effect. You could hear him scrambling around trying to find it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
All right, leave me alone. All right, we have the last big segment here, which is big, hairy, audacious predictions. Doesn't have to be tech related. And how about if I just throw one out? Or actually, I'll throw two out. Okay, the first one is, I think we're going to see a huge, gigantic leap forward in battery technology in 2009. I think there's going to be some emergence of of technology that not only accelerates our ability to walk around with mobile devices, but more importantly, our cars. So new cars. I've been sort of watching the space, and there's a lot of really interesting things and some little teeny breakthroughs that are happening that make it appear, at least, that 2009 is going to be pretty explosive. The other one was just unrelated to anything, but I've been having this sense for a long time. I'm a very lay student of history, and I've been reading some stuff about the shift from an agrarian to an industrial economy. And what happened in the 1800s is people began to migrate to the cities and take industrial-oriented jobs. And the kinds of things that were happening to people that had to abandon their farms or their kids went into the city and, you know, left them alone, and the pain and all the things that were happening economically at the time, and so on and so forth. And yet it was happening anyway. And it feels like we're undergoing that same kind of transformation now from an atom-based economy to a digital-based economy, and that there's that shift going on, and that we're living in it right now. So I think my big prediction for 2009 is we're going to see there's going to be enough things happening that are platform-ish or catalyst technology-like, that there's going to be a huge uptick in optimism in mid to late 2009. And that article that guy interviewed me for CNET, Steve Shandlick or Shankland, I'm sorry, captured this one last piece where I said, wherever there's a great flux, there's great opportunity, because it puts everybody on pins and needles on the edge of their seats, and everybody's looking for other ways to do things. They're looking for new solutions, they're looking for new possibilities and new opportunities. And if you have one, to your point, Graham, about a great time for innovation, if you have a new approach or you have a new solution that's better, cheaper, faster, and maybe even 10x better, cheaper, faster, and nobody believed it before, nobody was willing to look, nobody was willing to listen, guess what? They're ready and they're willing and they're listening.
Yep, absolutely. Get out there and network and find people, you know, to validate your concept and get beyond our town, our state. There's there are lots of great folks out there that can invest or be influential in helping a good idea find the light of day. You know, guys like Josh Koppelman at First Round Capital and Brad Feld out at the Foundry Group in Boulder. These guys will look at any ideas, and they don't care where they are, but they fund Web 2.0-ish kind, Web 3.0-ish kinds of ideas, and they literally, ideas can become reality. It's not going to stop.
Yep.
All the bad economic news is not stopping innovation. You know, and to your point, Steve. The new economy is going more and more to independent, contractors, free agent nation, all the talk we hear about personal branding and that kind of thing, you know, more and more it's going to be virtual teams making all these things happen. You know, we were talking at one place a month or so ago about how could any startup today be launched without virtual teams? I mean, it's incomprehensible to me that practically every startup I know is working with people remotely, at least around the state, if not around the country.
Right.
And tools that enable people to work that way without having to get face to face are going to continue to proliferate and gain traction and make money, and it's that's not slowing down because of the economy. In fact, it's accelerating because of the bad economic condition.
Yeah, exactly. It's ironic, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And by the way, one of my predictions, speaking of the bad economy, is that I predict that it will be no longer than 1 or 2 days into the new year when the Star Tribune will have a layoff story on page 1 of the business section. Really going out on a limb.
On a limb, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Complete with illustrations and graphs. And, oh, it's so bad. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, Danny, I can't talk anymore about that. It's just too crazy. Yeah,
the question will be how many on that list will be actually from them?
Yeah. Oh, that's one of my other predictions. Well, I'm not going to predict their demise, but I think, we're going to see something major cutting back on home delivery like the Detroit paper did, their circulation is going in reverse. They're giving buyout offers to the more and more of the newsroom people. It's hard to imagine Minneapolis without a newspaper, but the ownership is already changing. I think I read where Avista Capital Partners even gave up their ownership to the creditors, or will be, to the people they loaned money from. But, I hope they survive, and I hope Pioneer Press continues to do well. They seem to be actually slightly growing in circulation. So,
They got guys like Julio.
Yeah, our good buddy Julio.
He's in the game.
And his book is going crazy after he was on Twit TV, Leo Laporte.
That's great.
And his sales must be ramping really nicely, and his followers, I'm sure he'll be the highest followed Twitterer in the state here. He'll be number one on our list.
Well, I predict he's going to buy a Bentley in 2009.
From Tom Petters.
Yeah, from Tom.
From Tom Petters.
I hear there's one on sale, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, slightly used, driven by a felon on Sundays.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, that's my other big prediction, Steve, is I predict that before the year is out, a union will be formed for Ponzi scheme operators. Yeah. They will seek a bailout from the federal government.
Oh, sad.
Okay, trying to have fun here,
That's right.
The bad news,
Yeah. Anyone else with big, hairy, audacious? Otherwise, I got a one we can end with.
Well, I think
go Tim. Yeah, I know you go Tim.
I was going to say I think we're going to come out of this recession much faster than everyone thinks.
Right on.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys are such positive influences on the nation.
Thank you, Phil. And how
I
about
love
you?
That. I don't have a big hairy prediction other than I probably won't predict anything because other than maybe I'll get the ranking up on Comic Twit.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It is fun to follow, though. It really is.
Thank you.
I mean, people are, they're doing fun stuff. Well, I don't know if you read this morning's Star Tribune. I still get it. And Paris Hilton had $2 million in jewels stolen. Somebody broke into her, or somebody busted down a door. And so I predict that the jewels will be discovered and they'll be returned, and then it'll be found out that she actually faked the robbery because she needs the dough.
You mean the insurance dough?
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So,
well, yeah, well, that
was
big.
Now, wait a minute. That was big, hairy, and audacious?
No. We were done with the big, hairy, audacious category.
Oh, I thought that's the one you wanted to end on?
No. Okay, well, let's end with people will keep buying iPhones, Intel will introduce more powerful microchips, and video games will continue to be popular.
Oh, wow.
Well, I would disagree with the iPhone deal as the only iPhone non-user in the group here, I think.
No, actually, no. I'm still on my Trio, so.
Okay.
Oh, really? Wow. You're even more old school than I am. Holy crap.
Yeah, baby. Let me tell you.
Is that a backward?
Excuse me while I throw another lump of coal into my computer.
is that like a 650 or a 700 or what?
I'd say actually it's a 650.
Wow. With the original Palm OS, which I guess is still the Palm OS because I haven't upgraded it in like 4 years.
Oh, come on.
They're supposed to do that this year, though.
I'm representing the people.
Hey, if it works, well, great. Yeah. No, I think that Android as a platform is really going to give Apple a run for their money. So I think we're going to see, I just saw a rumor yesterday that we're going to see the G2 come out in late January, which if that happens, will be shocking that they'll, that, that, you know, they just release the G1 in like October.
Right.
I saw the G1 4 months later. It's crazy.
Have you played with one?
Oh, the G1. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's like a big old brick. I don't know. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, the brick cell phones when they first came out.
Is that more the phone though than the operating system?
I mean, it's clearly more the phone. I mean, yeah, the phone is just a big black box right now.
Yeah. Because I have not been able to play with one.
So yeah, let's go to a T-Mobile store. Really? Any good one in one of the malls, you know, the factory stores or whatever.
Right.
And they have like four or five of them sitting there for you to.
I'm gonna go do it.
Mess around with.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, my partner in Local Tone, Justin, is very much a G1 fan, so he's very enamored by it, and obviously he's developing.
And I do think there'll be a developer rush even more than there has been already to the Android platform, because I think there's a disillusionment with the iPhone platform. I think there's a lot of developers starting to whine now that they can't make money there. And, you know, and Jobs doesn't really care. He doesn't care if it all goes to free because it sells more hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
People are starting to realize, okay, Steve's getting rich, Apple's getting rich, but, you know, what the heck is left over for us, you know?
Yeah, people are getting agitated.
Somebody's going to have to wrap that Android technology in a dead sexy handset because, you know,
for this
really take off, it's got to get sexy. So.
It will.
From a design standpoint, the phone just doesn't even compare to the iPhone, you know. But that's hopefully the G2 and other, isn't it HTC that built the G1? Are there other handset makers coming in now, Tim?
Samsung in the second quarter of next year is going to introduce some too. So I think we're going to see a lot of handset makers and all of the carriers have, you know, Android-based handsets. And the thing that makes it, I think, a real iPhone killer is it's completely open. So people can do whatever you want.
Right, right.
And I'd like to see a netbook manufacturer come up with a netbook based on the Android operating system. I think that would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very good.
And have like 3G connectivity for your internet access and things like that. So it would be a data only kind of thing. But I think that's kind of, you know, where I see a lot of innovation happening. And I think we're going to see for the first time the iPhone train sort of get slowed down.
Yep. And you know, with the coming, you know, 4G and WiMAX, which is the subject of a whole other podcast, I suppose, things are going to get very interesting in 2009. And you know, that innovation isn't going to slow down significantly because of the economy. You know, it's going, it's moving. I'm reading positive things about those technologies. So with Sprint, what's Sprint doing and, you know, and Clearwire.
So yeah.
It's going to come, you know.
Well, and just look at, you know, I mean, to your point about the Android, Tim, I have been watching Drupal and Joomla and WordPress as kind of the three primary publishing type of platforms, and it just makes me smile when I look at the acceleration in WordPress and the ecosystem that's popped up around it, because it is totally open. I mean, there isn't any control for the most part. I mean, there is, but there isn't. And now there's been this controversy that Matt Mullenweg has come out with. They've taken off commercial themes off of the theme area of the WordPress.org site. And there's, you know, big concern about how can you do that and so on and so forth. And they have, he's going to be coming out with an official statement, I guess, but in essence, it's a, you know, hey, if it, you know, we're open source. If it's not a GPL licensed theme, then it shouldn't be there. And I think that's really interesting. That is more and more that's happening, where there's this shift. Not that there can't be commercial services, Acquia for Drupal and professional themes and so forth for WordPress, but the openness is really what creates innovation, or the opportunity to innovate.
Hey, gentlemen, I was just noticing we've got just a couple of minutes left on the podcast, and, you know, going back to the concept of, you know, what Minovate is all about, do we have some predictions for Minnesota innovation companies and tech companies?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see some very interesting marketing from Best Buy and from Target. I just wrote about that the other day. I think that the kind of problems that they're facing in the retail space right now are unprecedented, and they're going to really have to innovate their way out of the problem. And I'm really looking particularly for Best Buy to really kind of come up with some really interesting innovations, not only what they've started with some of their social media initiatives, but kind of take it to the next level.
You know, I think the key to that, and I agree with you, Tim, I think the key to that, though, is to make sure that they don't buy out the wrong people and move the wrong people out of the company for the short-term gains. That's the biggest issue. I think that they have to be very careful of offering this buyout package and the opportunity for allowing the wrong people to exit the company might be an issue.
Well, okay, so this, you know what, I should throw something in on that, because when I was at Apple back in the 90s, there were 55,000 people in printing and publishing in the state of Minnesota. And if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota was, I think, number four for the number of agencies in the advertising game here. And mm-hmm. to my prediction of easier platform API and code consumption and containers, having those be easier and matching that to the creativity that exists in the state of Minnesota, I think we're going to see a real explosion in digital and interactive delivery of content, advertising, messaging, and just fun stuff come out of this state.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. We've got a lot of great creative people here, and unfortunately, many of them are going to be out on their own now, but that's good, you know, and they'll continue to thrive that way, even if they aren't part of a large agency or entity like Best Buy.
Yep. All right, gentlemen. Well,
I see one
thank
more.
Thank you.
I want to make one more prediction.
No,
I
I'm sorry. All the predictions. No, go ahead.
No. Minovate, I see Minovate opening up more to becoming a more, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a more open source platform.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep.
Am I right?
That's what was affirmed at the social media breakfast, too, that people are interested in having us make it even more open. So guest authors, more ability to participate in the site and so forth. Absolutely.
Posters, guest blog posters.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Please. And as a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and make that offer right now. If you're interested in doing some guest blogging for Minovate, please let us know.
Absolutely. Hear.
Just your idea.
Great.
Please don't send any 5,000 word tomes, but pitch. Yeah. It's just your idea anyway.
Yeah. Graham's got the Graham's cornered on that one.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Between Graham and Steve, we got the long post covered.
All right. Hey, have a great holiday, and January 3rd, we'll be back at it, and have a great time. Make sure your snowblower has gasoline in it.
I want to thank you, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to be with you guys. It's been a great year. Thank you very much.
Well, you know what, and I should also say thank you. This has just been a fun year. It's been great. To be involved with this and to actually have it be accepted by people has been great. And hopefully we're adding some value and doing a service with this little labor of love called Minovate.
Thank you, Steve. You are the man that makes it all happen.
And oh, thanks.
You're along for the ride.
Agreed, 100%.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, you
happy
too.
New
happy
Year.
New Year. Take
Merry
care.
Christmas.
Bye now.